Okay, I just want to pray for the word this evening because it's a difficult message. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just ask that you would help us, Lord God, to hold fast to your truth. Lord, not to shy away from the difficult parts of it, Lord God, but to accept, Lord God, that there are things that maybe we don't understand, but nonetheless, Lord God, it is your word and we have to submit to your word. Help us, Lord, tonight to hear what you're saying to us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Could somebody hit the switch for me up there, please? Evan. Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Last week, Dave showed how King Ahab sulked and took to his bed, refusing to eat. What sort of king is that like? You know, he took to his bed, refusing to eat, simply because he didn't get what he wanted from a man called Naboth. Now, Naboth, as we saw and heard, Naboth owned a vineyard next to the king's palace. And Ahab thought that it would make a wonderful vegetable garden for him. And as Dave said last week, he didn't like just go and take it off him. He actually offered to buy Naboth's vineyard or give him a better vineyard. But Naboth wasn't prepared to sell or exchange his ancestral inheritance. And as Dave said last week, there's a lot of issues around the inheritance of the Lord and stuff like that that we're not going to get into. But because he didn't get what he wanted, the king sulked and isolated himself. And of course, when his wife Jezebel came in, she says, sort of, what's wrong with your face? You know, what's the matter with you? And Ahab told her all about Naboth and his vineyard. And so she came up with a wicked plan. Jezebel, as we said, is the ugly in this series. The good, the bad, and the ugly. She's not ugly because of her appearance. She's ugly because of her ways. And it was Queen Jezebel who came up with this evil and wicked plan. She wrote a letter in her husband's name to the elders of the city, basically saying to them, proclaim a fast, set Naboth in a prominent place beside two scoundrels, and get them to accuse him of blasphemy. Then have him killed. And of course, as you read the passage, the evil event took place, and poor Naboth was murdered. Jezebel then went to her husband and said, arise and take possession of Naboth's vineyard, for he is dead. It was like it didn't really matter to her. Blood on her hands, but hey, so what? It didn't matter. But it didn't seem to matter to her husband either. However, Jezebel's ugly deed mattered to God. It didn't go unnoticed by God, who sent Elijah his prophet to King Ahab to pronounce judgment on him. You see, you don't read anywhere in this passage where Ahab actually condemns his wife for doing what she did. The responsibility rests with Ahab the king. In fact, by his wickedness, Ahab had already turned the hearts of the people of Israel away from the Lord to worship false gods. And such was his wickedness, God spoke of imminent judgment coming upon him. The judgment of God pronounced over Ahab was, he would be killed. Don't ever think that God doesn't kill people. He would be killed, and dogs would lick up his blood in the place they licked up Naboth's. God would remove his posterity. He would wipe out Ahab's family. Ahab's lineage would be forever ruined. His wife, ugly Jezebel, would be eaten by dogs. And the corpses of his family would be eaten either by dogs in the city or by birds in the countryside. The account says in verse 25, they have read this last week, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because his wife Jezebel stirred him up. And the warning here is for men, when you're going to pick a wife, pick a good one. Pick a good one. And I'm looking at some didn't make very good choices here. But seriously, and all joking aside, it's what it says. There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because his wife, Jezebel, stirred him up. What a terrible testimony against bad King Ahab and his ugly wife, Jezebel. And what a frightening judgment pronounced over them. This was imminent judgment. This was about to happen. Imagine for a moment if God, who changes not, the God who pronounced this judgment over Ahab, is the God of 2017, the God that we believe in here in Shiloh Christian Fellowship. Imagine if God pronounced judgment over our lives because of our wrongdoing. Look, we may not have committed sins or crimes like Ahab or Jezebel, but what if God declared to us, your heart has turned from me to go your wicked way. You're going to die. You will be cut off forever. Your name will be remembered no more. What a terrible judgment and a terrifying thought. Well, I need to tell you here tonight and to those listening to the podcast, this is not imaginary. This is the judgment that God has pronounced over all sinners. God's word is absolutely clear, and he is God who changes not. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages, the penalty for sin is death. Again, I'm telling you tonight, this is not imaginary. God says, your heart has turned from me to go your own wicked way. You're going to die. You will be cut off forever. Your name will be remembered no more. This is God's judgment on all who have sinned. And we're clear, for all have sinned. This is God's judgment on all who have sinned. But let's read on in the passage this evening. Reading from 1 Kings 21 and reading verses 27 to 29. So it was when Ahab heard those words, that's the words that Elijah the prophet spoke to him, when he heard those words, that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me. I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. When bad Ahab heard what good Elijah the prophet said, he tore his clothes. In that sense, it's symbolic of rending his heart. He put on sackcloth on his body. He humbled. It's a sign of humility for a king to wear sackcloth. He put it on his body and he humbled himself. And he fasted. He refused to eat. And he went about mourning. Whether it is remorse or repentance, but that's what it's speaking of here. It's speaking of someone who has recognized something awful is about to happen. Ahab believed Elijah and immediately recognized that he was guilty before a holy God and that God's imminent judgment against him was righteous. And the only thing he could do was rend his garments, put on sackcloth, fast, and go about mourning, humbling himself before a holy God. He humbled himself before God, hoping to receive mercy and forgiveness. And God then spoke to Elijah about Ahab humbling himself before him and told Elijah, because Ahab has humbled himself before me, I will not bring this calamity about in his days, but in the days of his son, I will do this. You see, God's word teaches that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God is a God of righteous judgment. He is a God who can kill people today. He is a God of righteous judgment. But he is also a God of mercy and of grace, a God of forgiveness and of compassion. He will show mercy and grace to those who acknowledge their sin, who repent from it, and who humbly come to him for forgiveness. God's judgment stands firm today because God is unchanging. His judgment stands firm today for all who have sinned. You are going to die in your sin. You will be cut off forever from the life of God. The Bible calls that hell. Your name will be remembered no more. But there is hope tonight. There is hope because God loves us. He sent his son Jesus into the world to die in our place, to pay the price for our sin. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this sinful world, but he himself committed no sin and died for us, bearing God's righteous judgment for sin in our stead, in our place. And now God declares, whoever, and this is the wonderful thing, whoever acknowledges their sin, doesn't matter how bad it is, whoever acknowledges their sin, repents from it, and humbly comes to God through Jesus, will receive mercy, grace, forgiveness, love, and everlasting life. And yet here's the really good news. It was said of Ahab, there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. In other words, there was no one as wicked as Ahab. No one who did as much evil. And yet, when he humbled himself before God, he was granted mercy and grace. And this tells us there is no sin that anyone alive has committed that cannot be forgiven. If you will acknowledge it, repent from it, and come to God humbly through Jesus, seeking forgiveness. This is why the gospel of God, this is why the gospel of Jesus is called good news. Because there's forgiveness with God for whosoever will. For anyone, it doesn't matter what you have done. You cannot be as bad as Ahab, because the Bible's clear there was no one like him who did as much evil at this time. And even if you think you're worse than him, God's still saying to you, there is forgiveness for you. If you will just acknowledge your sin and come to me through Jesus, seeking forgiveness. Turn from your sin and turn to me, God says. Yes, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yes, all sinners will be cut off from the life of God in hell. Yes, their name will be remembered no more. But because of Jesus, there is forgiveness with God for those who want it. And so, Christian, tonight, you've already received forgiveness and will never face the righteous judgment of God against sin because Jesus has paid your debt in full. You will never be cut off from the life of God, and you will never see hell. But remember, Christian, you are not without sin. And you too must always acknowledge it before God, seeking His forgiveness, asking for His help by His Holy Spirit to continue to sanctify you and make you sinless and more like Jesus. Christian, you have received that forgiveness. You will never face God as your judge. Maybe tonight there's someone here and they're not yet a Christian, someone listening to the podcast. If you have not yet acknowledged your sin, if you have not yet repented of it and humbly come to God for forgiveness, then His judgment hangs over your head this very night. Your heart has turned from God to go your own wicked way. You are going to die in your sin. You will be cut off forever in hell, and your name will be remembered no more. But let me tell you again, the gospel is good news, because there is hope. Because of Jesus, there is forgiveness with God for you tonight. But you must acknowledge your sin, repent from it, and humbly come to God through Jesus and ask for His forgiveness. If you do this, God, who is merciful, gracious, compassionate, and forgiving, will forgive you and grant you everlasting life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You are God who changes not. We know there are things in Your word that we struggle to come to terms with. Things, Lord God, that we just do not understand, but this we do know. There is forgiveness with You. Whosoever will, whosoever, Lord God, comes to You through Jesus Christ, Your Son, seeking Your forgiveness, turning from their own wicked ways, will find forgiveness and love and acceptance, and will be brought into Your family and receive everlasting life. They will never face the judgment of God. They will never see hell. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that He came into this world, and though He was without sin, He took our sin upon Him and died on the cross to pay the debt in full. Thank You that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we are looking at the good, the bad, and the ugly. Lead us in Your good ways, O God. Direct our feet away from the bad ways and change the ugliness of our ways, Lord God, that we might walk forever with you, serving you, honoring you, glorifying you, because it was for us that Jesus gave his life. We thank you, Father. Help us, please, this night to understand that although we, Lord God, are not sinless, by your grace and with the help of your Holy Spirit, we can sin less until Jesus calls us to be forever with him. We thank you. Amen. We'll stand to sing.